So I'm really hard on myself, but yet I'm still really comfortable without clothes on. And as long as I'm with somebody, like if I was with Caitlin, because I know her, and I disrobed, I wouldn't be uncomfortable. I don't care. Like, just like, I mean, I work pretty hard on my body. So you know what? There you go. The reason I work hard on my body is because I want to look good naked.
Hey, everybody. This is Gina Tremarco with Carolina Improv Company and Pivot 10 Results, co-host of this amazing show, Women Your Mother Warned You About, the show that makes everything sexy again. And my amazing, beautiful co-host,
Rachel Pitts. I am a mom, a realtor. I'm a wife to Mr. Felix Pitts. And I'm the creator of The Closing Curve. And I've got some changes coming up, but I'm not going to tell you about them yet. And
secretly.
But see, I always have something going on. I'm like a little chameleon. And it actually never surprises anybody when I do a little small shift. This is like a lateral shift happening soon, but you'll see.
It's exciting. Your little shift. I'm excited about your shift. We're both constantly shifting. Hey, you got to shift. If you're not changing, you're dying. So,
it's more like a pivot.
Yeah, it's a pivot.
It's kind of a small pivot to the side.
I like pivots.
Yeah.
Hey, I do want to. It's sort of a review, not official, an official review, but there is a review sort of, and she did say she wrote one, but it probably hasn't populated yet. So. So this woman connected with me on LinkedIn, and I'm always curious how people find me, and we didn't have any connections in common, and she's in Louisiana, and I was like, I connected with her, and she's in recruiting on the sales end of it, and I said, hey, how did you find me? And she, I want to read this, basically she's a Warner. So she found me through, I don't know, maybe she connected with you too. She said, hey, I'm a listener of the Women Your Mother Warned You About. I love the podcast and I'm just interested in following the things that you post. I don't need anything right now, but I promise to let you know if a need arises. And so that was her response to, you know, when someone connects with me that I don't know, because you know how I am about trolls, I'll connect and be like, how can I help you? Like that's the first thing I say now before they try to sell to me. So she was like, I don't need anything. And then we went back and forth. I asked her to do a review. She said she would. And she said, thank y'all for putting out awesome content. It helped me a ton. And then I asked her like to tell me more. And she said... because I asked her how she found the show. She said, I found the show by searching for sales podcasts. I love the company that I work for, but there is zero sales training. The other salesperson that I was working with was threatened by me and refused to teach me anything. My boss has taught me a lot, but I still have so much to learn. So I have been seeking it out, additional help, training, and learning opportunities. I have picked up so many tips and tricks along the way. The episode I most recently listened to, I downloaded everything and have been trying to listen to it all. She's so cute. The one she downloaded was about not being a social media troll. There were so many great tips. And as a sales newbie, I know I've done it wrong a few times. The episode was so specific and that helped me truly differentiate what works and what doesn't. There have been so many other podcasts that have said what not to do, but don't clarify the right way. So I give up on that approach altogether. She says, again, I so appreciate the information that y'all share. It's fun, but also extremely helpful. If I can ever give back or help in any way, please let me know. I have already left you a review on iTunes. So that's awesome.
Thanks for that.
Isn't that awesome?
That's cool.
Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that.
It's fun when people enjoy what we do here.
Well, yeah, especially I love it when people do see that we provide content through our irreverence.
That's true. Well, because the name is purposefully there to titillate and somewhat confuse and also draw you in. And so sometimes people might think that it's just all fluff. And there's some fluff.
There's fluff.
We like fluff. But There's also some good stuff there, especially when we have fascinating guests.
Speaking of fluff or fluffers or fluff. So today's episode, I thought maybe because we're talking about like sometimes we like to talk about taboo stuff. Maybe a continuation of an episode we did in the very beginning with Caitlin Guild, our photographer. And we were talking about body image and all of those great things. And it was a really probably one of our, still one of our most popular episodes about body image for women. So Caitlin was running this special on Facebook, which is also another kind of interesting point about when you're ready to make a decision to buy something. Like you and I both know, she does these boudoir shoots and she had a special running. It was like, do this mini session, which I thought was pretty brilliant because it's like, okay, how scary could that be? It's just an hour. And the cost was like a no-brainer. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And I signed up. And then I went and got half naked in front of her. There were actually some interesting moments, like when my bodysuit popped open.
Tell us more about that, Gina.
Well, there's this whole process getting ready for a boudoir shoot. Like, what are you going to wear? And what's going to make you look feel comfortable and look comfortable? And what positions are you going to be posed in? And so I finally settled on a few different items. And then I brought them all with me for her to look at and try on. But this bodysuit, which is adorable, by the way, she wants me to write an article about it, which I'm going to write a blog about it.
About the bodysuit?
Well, about being a bigger woman, finding like something to wear that makes you feel comfortable and sexy. Like that's truly an issue to find something, especially with boobs as big as mine. Like that's a constant challenge. I know you don't feel sorry for me, but it's a challenge.
No, it's interesting because you and I we're very similar humans in terms of our souls, but we're also completely different body types. Like yeah. I have no boobs. I have like, I'm just small and thin because I've been a ballet dancer since I was five. So that's just kind of where I'm coming from. And you've got a lot of boobs and curves. And so it's a great perspective because I can't relate because I'd rather just be naked. Like I don't care what you put on me. I'm so used to being in front of a camera, like wearing whatever you want to put on me, not wearing anything. Like I've done pretty much it all. I haven't danced on stage naked yet in my life, but
never say never.
That's why I didn't say never, but I'm pretty comfortable with it. So I'd rather that, you know, if I was doing it, I'd be like, Caitlin, tell me what to put on or what to not put on.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
So tell us more.
First I want to know, I'll tell you more. I want to know though, because I think this is a really good topic that we probably didn't even realize. Again, the differences between you and I. What makes you so comfortable to walk around naked?
Well, and that's really interesting because it came up with my daughter at her dance recital because she had to go. I was working backstage. I was running backstage of the dance recital. That was a few weeks ago. And she is old enough now. I was like, just go in the dressing room and put on your costume. You can do that. And she was like, I don't want to. There's other people around. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It's the dance world. Like, just nobody cares. We all have the same thing. But she's just a lot more shy than me. And I can remember being her age and younger, even still, when like I have very vivid memories of doing my dance recital when I was a kid and being in the band room at Martinsville High School and just tons and tons of kids around and everybody changing clothes. And I wasn't nervous about it then. I don't care. It may be just something in my nature that I don't mind it. And yeah, when I'm at home, if I can be walking around naked in my house, then I'd rather be doing that. Like after I take a shower, that's how I am. I just feel really comfortable like that. I tend to be really hard on myself in terms of my body just because of my background in the dance world, because your body is your most important tool aside from your mind in dance, but you know, arguably the body is more important than how you look. So I'm really hard on myself, but yet I'm still really comfortable without clothes on. And as long as I'm with somebody, like if I was with Caitlin, because I know her and I disrobed, I wouldn't be uncomfortable. I don't care. Like, just like, I mean, I work pretty hard on my body. So you know what? There you go. The reason I work hard on my body is because I want to look good naked.
Well, it's interesting because it sounds like from an early age you were comfortable, and even yeah. what your daughter's going through, and you and I talked about this a little bit too, that when I was younger and I was at the YMCA with my half-sister, who, it's a whole long story, is my mother's age, my dad's first child, first daughter from a first marriage. Anyway, she was
don't
like...
confuse them, just
yeah,
to the
yeah,
nakedness.
She was like a second mom. So she had taken me to the Y, and I watched her just like, you know, so effortlessly like take all her clothes off and women walking around naked. And I remember being really uncomfortable with it, about taking my own clothes off. And as a kid, I was always fluctuating with my weight, same as an adult. So I'm curious where you got confidence so early in life that you just had it.
I think so. I don't remember ever, because again, I'm pulling up that image in my mind of being, you know, I started dance really young. And so there's always, and throughout my whole life, there's situations like, being a dancer in a show, you're backstage with a bunch of women all the time, sometimes guys. I've been on ships before where we had male changing assistants, and we talked about that in another episode, and the gangster, the Teamsters backstage and stuff. But I have no recollection of ever feeling like I needed to turn my back to change clothes. And yet, even as an adult, I'm thinking right now, and being in shows with girls that I'm really familiar with, one girl in particular, it's not that she's shy, but I don't ever see her naked body. Like, she just has a way of changing that I don't ever really see her naked. And then there's other people that are like, they walk in the dressing room, take their clothes off, and sit there buck naked the whole time. There's one girl. So like, it's just a different world that I'm just so comfortable with. And I think I've just always been that way, which is why I always knew that being a dancer was part of my makeup, like how I was formed by God, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, you're probably one of those fortunate ones that feels so confident and comfortable, and then there are women with your body type that don't feel that way, and then you look at women like me who I don't know where I get my comfort. I don't know, maybe I do walk around the house half naked, not fully naked, because my boobs are so big I want them like held up, so I do walk around that way. And I actually, here we go again, Regina Thomas Hour. I picked that up in one of her exercises about building your confidence by looking at yourself in the mirror naked every day. So I get ready that way. I get ready with my bra and panties on so that I'm looking at myself constantly. And there's something to be said about that, because the more you do it and you own it, the more you get look at me.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this, I'm very comfortable in and out of clothes, that's for sure. But I also, as I said a minute ago, I'm really hard on myself.
Yeah.
But I also, now as I grow older, another thing about being comfortable in your own skin and looking at yourself naked is that if you want to change what you see,
yes,
because you'd like to make a few alterations, if you'd like to tone up here or trim down there, you can see it, and then you can observe. Try to observe with wonder and awe as you make those changes.
Yeah.
You know, in my younger life, I used to just have this inner dialogue of like, oh, you're just so fat. You're just so ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I thought that that defined me. And now, and this is what I try to teach my daughter, is that if you want to change it, like, you can change it. So like right now, I'm happy with where I am right now, but I just hired a trainer because I want to like take myself to a different level, and
right.
I want to let somebody help me. So I understand that there's nothing wrong with the way I look right now. It's great. I'm blessed with what I have because of the work that I've done on myself and good genetics, and, you know, but I'm willing to let someone help me make the changes I'd like to make. But at the same time, like, it's so important to look at yourself in the mirror and just be like so in awe of what you are and who you are, because there's like, I forget the statistics on it, but there's like a one in a gajillion chance for you to be born. Like, think about all the sperm that were swimming that day when you were conceived. Like, there's such a slim chance that you could have ended up exactly who you are. And you out there, exactly how and who you are making a big difference in the lives of a lot of people. So you have to look at yourself in the mirror and know that.
And I think when you have that level of confidence, it shows up in everything else that you do. And I have found that at this state in my life, which maybe it's from an aging thing, I have been heavier, I've been thinner. When I look, and I think all women have this issue, when I look at other pictures, like thinner pictures, I'm like, why couldn't I just be happy at that size? And then I'll see other pictures that, you know, I see all the variety of pictures and like I'm never happy with any of them, no matter what size I was at. And then that became an aha of like, you know what? Appreciate where you are in the moment and love those things about yourself in the moment and just find those things to appreciate. Like, what is amazing about you in that moment? Even if it's just a physical thing, right? I've come to appreciate, I got great boobs and I got a big ass. And a lot of people like that. So, and some
don't. I wish I had a little bit bigger boobs. I think about it all the time if I'd like to buy a set. You know, because if I want to have any level of boobs, I have to buy them. Like, I can gain weight, I can lose weight. If I lose weight, I lose it in my boobs first, yeah. Like in my chest. It sucks.
I lose weight from my boobs when I lose weight, but not much. Never has there been much. Actually, someone just asked me the other day. She's like, are those boobs real? I'm like, yes, they're real. I'm like, do they look fake?
I mean, no, you can tell yeah, fake boobs from real boobs.
Exactly.
Really look. Well, a really great way. Once I went to cheer on a friend of mine running in the Diva half marathon, and I was sitting there watching the women run by, and I could be like, it was. I created this game in my mind. Of course, I didn't share it with anyone around me, but I was like, let's spot the fake and the real boobs. So, like, fake boobs bounce a little bit. Fake boobs do not bounce. They don't move around. They just are right there. Real boobs, they kind of move around a bit, even if they're strapped down tight. Yeah. It was a fun little game.
Yeah. Well, that's why I have to walk around with a bra on.
Yeah.
Because they bounce.
There's a new song out that I just was loving her performance on, I think it was MTV Music Awards. Lizzo, her name is. Mm-hmm. It's called Juice. Are you familiar with that song?
I think I may have heard it.
Oh, it's so good. And she's a bigger woman. Let's call her a full figure woman instead of, forgive me for using the word bigger. That's not nice as saying full figured, but she kills it. Like, you got to go look it up.
Okay.
Look up her performance on the MTV. I think it's the MTV Music Awards that just happened. She crushes it. And she is, I mean, I believe that the song lyrics are about, well, she's just a badass just the way she is.
Yeah.
And she doesn't need to be any different. And she is crushing it. She, you know, and after that, something else came up about these plus sized hip hop dancers. It's a plus sized hip hop dance troupe. And these girls are awesome. They are so good. And they just decided that they didn't want to be ostracized from the dance world anymore. So they created their own thing and they're touring the world now.
Amen. Amen. Create your own world. Create your own world, no matter what the differences are that are not considered the norm in the world, right? Like, create your own thing. I've always had a really high level of confidence, and I don't know where it comes from, honestly.
Your dad.
Yeah, I think my dad was a big part of it, how I was raised. You know, that I could do anything, be anything, and that's never really slowed me down. But again, I think I've gotten more confidence in my body at this age. Where, you know, you get an attitude of like, I really don't give a shit what you think, right? Like, it's okay. And I've also come to embrace, the more you embrace it, the more you seem to attract certain people to you. Like, it's no, it's like, I don't have to hide this. I mean, someone might get mad, but that's fine. I certainly get hit on by men. And I'm certainly called sexy a lot, which got me to like ask that question one day on Facebook, what is sexy? Because I'm really curious about that. When you get called sexy, so like, what does that mean? And when I put that on Facebook, most of the people responding, including men, were talking about the level of confidence someone has, how they show up.
Yeah, it's well, just so you know, you shouldn't worry about anybody getting mad because it's actually a compliment. I got hit on yesterday too. It was the funniest thing, actually. I was walking across from the paying for my gas from the gas station, and then walked to the pump, and this guy comes tearing off the road. He was a young guy, and he's like, hey, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful, I had to pull over, and what's your name? And I said, my name is Mrs. Pitts. And he said, oh, Mrs. Pitts. So I guess you can't have any fun on the side, can you? And I said, no, because my husband, Mr. Pitts, would shoot you. And he goes, okay, so you can't like text or anything? And I was like, no, Mr. Pitts would be very upset with you and with me. And it was just so, it was so comical because I was just being lighthearted. And he's like, well, you're very beautiful. And I'm like, thank you so much. I'll tell Mr. Pitts.
Well, you can't text or anything. What is that?
I know. Like, he thought I was going to jump on board just because he like, okay. I mean, literally, he was probably like 20 something. I'm like, honey, no, bless your heart.
Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, let's text. Text me.
Yeah. Oh,
what is,
right.
What is what?
That's worthwhile.
But I think you know, people, when people are just attracted to you about because you have that confidence. And I've had women come up to me like, I'm sure you've had those days where you're like, I'm feeling pretty good in my skin. But I've had women come up to me and go, you look adorable, like strangers. And I think it's the way I carry myself.
Exactly. I was about to say, it comes from the inside out. It doesn't really matter how you look on the outside, because people can, it's an energetic field. If you are creating that energy from the inside because things are just flowing for you, if you're in the flow, people can, they can see it. They don't necessarily know what it is, but they're like, I want a piece of that.
Yeah. And I guess my point is, and you and I are both attractive women, so we have that going for ourselves. And yes, I'm confident enough to say that or call it cocky. And some women may, or and men may not feel attractive physically, but you really need to reach down in about embracing who you are and not worry about the physical, because people will be attracted to you. Several people know the story about me being on a plane and a guy hitting on me, and I was like, no makeup with glasses on, looking like I couldn't have looked any worse than I did that morning for someone to like hit on me. But again, I guess it's because I carry myself really well, even when I'm not looking good, right?
Well, let me tell you something. Now, this is a powerful story. It again, it comes from the inside out. It does not matter how you look. So when I lived in Montreal, there was a period of time where my first ex, he was playing in a band with this Quebecois star, and I cannot recall his name right now. I'll have to look it up. But he was a Quebecois rock star, this guy.
What is a Quebecois?
Quebecer. Oh, okay. From a person from Quebec, Montreal. Quebec, Canada, excuse me. Quebecois, they call it. A Quebecois woman and a Quebecois man. Well, this guy, God, I wish I could remember his name. He was born with a birth defect. He had no legs. He had basically both arms were kind of like half, and he had two or three fingers on each hand. He walked with crutches, but he was an incredible singer. He was in, he played bass during his show, and he kicked ass. He would like have a moment where he played bass. He was an artist. He could draw like you wouldn't believe. And he had a magnetism about him. Like, he was sexy.
Hmm.
There was something,
there's that word again.
There was
that
something
sexy word
about him. I'm telling you, like, I don't know what brought this to my mind, but I'm thinking about him. And he had a magnetism and a power and a sexiness on stage. Hmm. Like, really attractive in the face. Great singer and a great performer. And obviously, you kind of, you know, your heart went out to him for the faults that, and defects that were not his fault. They just happened. It was due to a medication that his mother was given when she was pregnant. And he was just sexy, though.
Well, again, that sexy word, like, the more we talk about it, I think sexy comes down to something magnetic, something that draws someone in. Maybe that's what sexy is.
Yep. And it's important to remember that sexiness comes from the inside, because at any time, at any moment in your life or the life of someone that you love, something could happen that could drastically alter their physical body, their face, their, you know, they could become paralyzed, they could, something could happen. You just don't know. And so it's important in your own self that you gain that inner strength and that power and the love for yourself that is so much bigger than how you look in the mirror. Like, it's important to look at yourself and be accepting of yourself, but there's so much more to you.
Well, there's two things I want to talk. I do want to get to talking about the actual boudoir shoot.
So
I'm going to get to
that.
But before I do, because this also kind of triggered me the other day, and what we're talking about, it just brings this up. I saw, you call me the other day, and you're like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm still trying to get off the couch. I was scrolling through Facebook, and you see like the different ads that pop up. Well, there was this ad that popped up, and it said something like, her husband left her, or something like that. So I clicked on it, because it made me curious. But it turned out to be an ad for these weight loss patches that you put on your body. And I got really drawn into it because, you know, I'm always fascinated about the cell of things. Like, it didn't start out as a weight loss cell line. It was like her husband left her. And I opened it, and it tells this story in like video with subtitles on it about how this woman who is a police officer, and she got into an accident, and then she became, you know, immobile, and then they kicked her off the police force because of her injuries, and then she gained all this weight, and she got really depressed, and she gained all this weight, and her husband left her, and she kept gaining weight, and then her children left her, and it went on and on and on, this like tragic story, and then, you know, someone suggested these patches to her, like a doctor suggested it, because she just couldn't take off the 80 pounds. And she put the patches on, and it was like astounding. She lost the 80 pounds, and then she found this new man. And then her husband wanted her back, but she already had a new man. And then her children came back to her. And then the police force invited her back onto her job. And I read through the fucking lines of this. I'm like, this is a fucking ad, right? Like that. But if
it's a good story they wove, though.
Oh my God. But when you read the commentary, you know, people responding on Facebook, like, oh, that poor woman. Oh, he was an asshole. Oh, she can do better. Oh, how sad that she was kicked out of her. Like, people were like, where do I buy them? How do I get them? Do they work? And I'm like, I was so infuriated over the manipulation. Because it was really playing. I mean, it was played well. It was played. Oh, it tapped.
We could do a whole nother episode on how the weight loss industry and the pharmaceutical industry manipulate the minds of humans in this planet.
Good. Yeah. Let's do that episode. And then there were like a good percentage. I would say a third of people making comments were like me reading through the lines. Like, are you kidding me? What? Like, really? They kicked her off the police force. Really? Really? Her children left her. Really? Like, but it was such a manipulative kind of sell. And they're selling the shit. It's playing on these emotions. So my point is, to men and women, just try to find a way to love yourself and not worry about these silver bullets, because we all know the bottom line, and you can speak to this, like, eat less, exercise more. At the end of the day, that's the answer.
Actually, that's not the answer. The answer is more like, eat more of the right things. And exercise more.
Right. It's about intake.
It is. It's about that. But the real thing is that if you want to make positive changes in your body, it's going to take time and it's going to take work. There is no silver bullet. And the weight loss industry, they've gotten really, really creative to do that kind of thing. I started reading an article similar on Facebook that they drew me in because I'm a huge Game of Thrones junkie. And they were telling the story of Emilia Clarke, who I think it was at season 2, where she had some kind of like terrible disease or like brain aneurysm, like crazy something that medically happened to her. And then they go into the story of how challenging that was for her, and the Game of Thrones was just getting off the ground, and the challenges for her on set, and then she gained all this weight. And then it turned into a weight loss pitch. And I was like, really? Yeah, it was crazy. And it might have been the same patch thing. Like, I didn't even... I stopped reading it when I realized that it was a sales pitch about how she lost the weight. And I'm like, you got to be kidding. But they've gotten really creative, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's a brilliant hook to pull someone in.
They've got to think of something new because...
Yeah. You know, because everyone is getting, you know, over... it's overused. Like, oh, another weight loss pitch. No, her husband left her. Click, that's click great, here.
It's totally. But, you know, it's
tapping into the fears, that women have is what that did.
And it really comes down to, you know, I'm sure that we've talked about this probably on Caitlin's episode about it doesn't really matter. There's some tons of plus size women out there wearing string bikinis on the beach in Myrtle Beach and feeling just fine about it. Meanwhile, there's really skinny women who are like, oh my God, I'm so fat. Like, 'cause I ate a donut yesterday. Like, you just got to understand that, especially women, we fluctuate up and down because of our cycles. And it's okay. Because
listen, I had donut holes yesterday at Benjamin's Bakery. Okay. Yes. And so I'm intermittent fasting today. Right? Like, okay, I was bad yesterday, so water for me. But I don't mind doing a fast. It gives me a little bit of a high. Actually, there's a whole thing around fasting before you speak. And it's a whole nother topic.
That is a whole nother topic that we... I dig the intermittent fasting thing. We can get into that because there's a lot to be said. But let's get back to the boudoir sheet. I want to hear, tell us more about...
I just wanted people to be hanging on
Naked Gina.
So, Naked Gina. So, here's a question for you. And part of the taboo of this is I go back and forth on whether or not I should publish any of the pictures. Like, talk the talk, walk the walk. Right? As a woman, like... I mean, I'm not naked, first of all. But am I gonna share them? That's the $1 million question, and it's not like it's not even the concern about not feeling confident enough about showing my body. It's more about the criticism and the backlash I'll get for doing that.
Or also, you know, the kind of clientele that you're going after in your business life,
right?
If they Google you and they find that, how will they perceive you?
Right.
And is that the way that you want them to perceive you?
Well, this is another kind of like turning point, right? Like even when we started this podcast, we're like, you know what? We're going to create this podcast called Women Your Mother Warned You About. It's going to turn some people off. It really hasn't hurt my business. Then you go to the next level. Should I publish this kind of provocative picture of me? I don't know yet. I'd be curious to hear what people have to say and give us feedback on that. So anyway, so that's one part of it that has crossed my mind, but let's talk about the actual shoot itself, which was super fun because Caitlin is super fun and it was super, someone asked me if I was nervous. I'm like, no, I was not nervous whatsoever. I was sort of like, which is the best outfit to wear, really? And I went back and forth with her for weeks because she's like, well, go on Amazon and, you know, there's all kinds of cute plus size bodysuits and this and this and this. And I didn't like anything. And this is a whole other topic on bodysuits as a larger woman. There's a lot of shit out there like that just doesn't fit. It just doesn't, especially if you have big boobs. I bought and returned so many things because you seriously have to go through like the size charts are different for everything. It's a thing. It's a thing if you're not a thin woman who's like the average normal size or whatever you consider normal. I bought a lot of stuff, sent a lot of stuff back. And finally I said to Caitlin, I go, you know what? I'm most comfortable in a bra and panties. And I know what my favorite panties are, like the bikini style panties are what make me feel good and I look best in, and like that was the process that we talked through. And then I did find a bodysuit that I liked, and so we went with the bodysuit, a bra and panties. Oh, I went with the fun, like I was like getting so frustrated with like what to wear, and it was like really, it was a moment of like really having to capture who you are. And I think that was probably my biggest takeaway from that, was capturing the essence of Gina. And so what I ended up wearing was a man's oversized, like a bigger man's oversized white shirt. Kind of like, you know, you put on after, you know, getting up out of bed. So I went with the white shirt and the bra and panties was outfit number one. And then outfit number two was the bodysuit. And you get two outfits for this. But I was also a little smart and scheduled it as one of her last sessions. So in case I could get more time out of her, which I did, sorry, Caitlin, but I already told her that. And then we did one with me in like business attire, like a skirt, jacket, red bold jacket, black skirt with a bra, but no shirt. And of course, heels. So those are the three outfits.
That sounds like a costume I've worn on stage before. Many times. Yeah, well, did you have fun is the question.
Oh my gosh, I had so much fun. Now, I'm also like you as a performer. I love a camera. I know, like, if there's a photographer in the room, I know I can sense the lens. I know exactly where the lens is, and I will flip my head for my head to be in that lens. Every photographer laughs at me. I know how to find the lens.
Oh yeah. And I always know how to like turn to my good side.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Well, and she taught, and she was so amazing. So if you do something like this, you really do want a photographer who has experience. She's done all kinds of training in boudoir, goes to all kinds of workshops, does continuous education on it. And even in how she positioned my body, right? It wasn't all like, I'm just going to lay here. It was like, pop your butt up, point your toes, put, you know, arch your back while pointing your toes, pop your butt. Now put your fingers on your lips, like the, all of those.
It does. But it's definitely, there's definitely an art to it.
Yeah, total art to it. So it was super fun. She starts it out by like, I'm going to do a full body shot of you because I want you to see what you need to see who you are and what you look like. And it's like walking you into that. And then she positions you different ways until like there are some positions like, oh, that's the winning position of like how you look best in your body. So it was super fun. So at one point, she wanted me to do this like crawl to her thing, like get on my hands and knees and crawl picture in the bodysuit. And the crotch popped open. You know, the buttons in the crotch. And I was struggling to snap them back. So she had to do it. I wish somebody could have gotten a picture of that, of her being all up in me. Resnapping the bodysuit.
See, that's why I don't ever wear a bodysuit. I don't. Nope. Did you wear bodysuits in the 80s? You remember? Or maybe it was like the 90s that it was like a thing. Did you wear like a bodysuit and jeans?
No, but I remember those days. You yeah, I mean? No, I never did. But I did manage to find, so she asked me to kind of write about that. There's a couple websites out there that have amazing bodysuits for plus size women, like adorable, like really cool bodysuits. So I had this really cool bodysuit that, maybe there's a portion of that picture I can publish that's not so racy, but it's lacy and it's got these lacy flowy arms. It's actually really pretty. I would definitely wear it out. I'd put a jacket over it. My boobs are flowing out of it. What's with the what are you thinking?
Where would you wear it out?
I don't know. I don't know. A nightclub? I don't know.
Myrtle Beach is lacking in decent nightclubs though.
Yeah, exactly. No, I would I don't know. In another city where people know me.
What would be your recommendation for anyone who is thinking about doing a boudoir photo shoot, but is a little bit has some reservations about it?
You know, I think probably one of the first things you can do, which is something that happens in sales in general, is if it's something that intrigues you, start looking at or looking up photographers who do that and just watch them from afar. Right? You don't have to engage with them. You don't have to reach out. You don't have to contact them. You know, I look at Caitlin's work all the time because I think her work is beautiful. Right? And so the more I was looking at her work, and I do know her, the more I was like, oh, you know, that'd be really cool to do that with her. Like, I would feel really comfortable. But I just kept watching her. I kept watching her work get better and better. She is very pro woman's body of all sizes, but she's very pro embrace all bodies, right? She's been doing a lot of stuff with like, she photographs men, she photographs bigger men. So she's about embrace all bodies. So I would find somebody that has similar values and beliefs to you as a photographer? You know, what is their true purpose in that boudoir photography? You know, there are some boudoir photographers that I think they do it because they see it as a way to make more money in their photography business. And it is. But I think you'd want to go with someone that they're truly passionate about it because their purpose is to help people feel good about themselves. And I think that for me was a big thing with working with Caitlin.
Yeah, I can definitely agree. It's good to find somebody who is very comfortable with those types of shoots. They also they know how to make you look good. I did an experimental photo shoot with a team of photographers several years ago, and they were doing exactly what you just mentioned. They were trying to add boudoir to their gallery of offerings, if you will. They do mostly the wedding deal and, you know, all that stuff. And they wanted to just try it out. And they knew that I'm the girl who will be like, sure, I'll come.
I'll be naked.
I'll get naked for y'all and be a guinea pig. And they're such wonderful people and I adore them, but they just didn't know what they were doing yet. They didn't really know how. I mean, luckily I knew how to pose myself because I have, you know, 40 years of experience of it at this point. So I think that helped, but I know they would definitely have to do some practicing so that they could make someone who's not as comfortable as I am to be really comfortable to give that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you're trying to like give yourself, you don't want to look, the worst thing you can do, because I have some of those pictures from that shoot where I look at them and I just laugh because I'm like, oh, how awkward I look. And you don't want to get your boudoir pictures back and be like, I'm so awkward, because then you'll feel bad about yourself. You want to have an experience like you did with Caitlin, Gina, and that is to be like, oh my God, I am amazing, and feel really empowered and sexy, and that you did something really awesome.
And I think the other part of like working with her is that she genuinely, you know, she's an artist, but there were a series of shots where she would do, and she would literally, you would see her face light up. She would get so excited. She would get so excited because, you know, she would look at the work. She's like, oh my God, you're gorgeous. Oh my God, look at this light. Oh, like she would get so into the work of it, of seeing the beauty in you, and then hype that up sincerely. But then that got me excited. I'm like, hell yeah, that's right. Look at my booty. My booty looks really good in that. Booty does. Oh, I don't like my booty in that. Right? Like, you're not going to have all amazing photos.
No. No matter what, when you do a photo shoot, there's always some terrible ones that are just laughable.
Yeah, like, look at that triple chin. That was not a good way to position that, right? So I would say step one, you know, start watching someone passively and what they do and find out what their values are and what their experience is. Don't go with someone that's you know, a side hustle for them or they're, you know, creepy man. I do recall a guy in college that was trying to do those kinds of photos, and my roommate got sucked into it, and I had to like go beat the shit out of him. Like, I really almost beat the shit out of him to get the negatives. That's back in the day of film. So, you know, you want to pick the right person and embrace the experience of it, because I think the truly for me, it was about seeing me for who I am, and then really like going through that process, kind of like when I was like redecorating my office, like what colors do I like? What represents me? What makes me feel like me? And for me, like the oversized man's shirt over brown panties, like is me. I'm not like the frilly lingerie, like the garter belt. No, none of that. So it gives you an opportunity to really understand who you are and love who you are and build that confidence in you. And I can't wait to get all the pictures back. So the question is, which ones should I post? Not that anybody will really be able to tell me that because they won't see them. Well, you'll see them. Rachel will see them.
It's all who you know.
Yeah, so I guess the moral of the story of this episode is really about getting back to your body image, to build your confidence so that you can go out in the world and have whatever it is you want, whether it's in your business, in your life, you know, if it's personally or professionally. The more confident you feel, the more successful you're going to be in attaining your goals. Period, end of story.
Definitely. And, you know, if you need a boost of confidence from the inside out and you're wondering how to do that, then start looking at the things that you love to do, the things that you're really good at, and enhance those. You know,
yeah.
Go take a class, hire a coach that can help you with something that you're really passionate about and that you're really good at or you'd like to get better at, so that you can build that confidence in your own unique skills that don't have anything necessarily to do with your body. And then it's going to build yeah. your confidence in the knowing that you have something really special, and that's going to show up on the outside of you. You know, when you see someone who's walking around, and that's what's happening with you for sure, Gina, is like, they're like, you just have this glow about you. There's something, they're just, they don't really know. And what it is, again, is an energy from the inside out that's emanating through your body and outwards towards your aura and all the energy that surrounds you. And you can build that no matter how you look, no matter yeah. if you don't think that you're beautiful. I guarantee there's ways to make yourself incredibly beautiful, but it starts from the inside out.
Yeah, and as cliche as that can sound, that's the reality.
It's true. Because you guys know when you've seen a beautiful woman who you can just tell is just ugly on the inside.
Oh, God,
and so
yeah. Yeah.
even though they're quite pretty and they have all the things that, you know, technically are pretty, but you can just tell that their energy, that you just don't really want to get near them. You just, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. I know a lot of those. Well, this has been a fun episode, at least for us. I hope it's been good for everybody else. As we mentioned, we did an episode in the very beginning of this show on body image and how that shows up in your life and in business.
I believe it's episode 2. You can go right back from the beginning and listen all the way up to this episode.
Yeah, and Caitlin's on that one, so that's cool. And we'll see whether or not I post any pictures.
Well, thanks so much, everybody, for listening to Women Your Mother Warned You About. You can find me as Rachel on Real Estate all over social media. You can find me at Rachel on Real Estate or email me at rachelonrealestate@gmail.com. Or you can also hop over to theclosingcurve.com and get your free How to Buy a Home Guide. Gina, where can everybody find you?
Everybody can find me. I was going to say something cheeky. In Penthouse. No, just kidding.
Does Penthouse even exist anymore?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm probably dating myself. In Playboy. No. You can find me at GinaTremarco.com, which will lead you to everything that I do, Carolina Improv Company and Pivot 10 Results. And you can always go to WomenYourMotherWarnedYouAbout.com and find us there, which links back to all of our other places, as well as Keith Walters, who I bet once he hears that we did this episode, he's going to be very sad that he wasn't part of this episode. So sorry, Keith, you were out busy working for a client, making money. Got to do what a man's got to do. Go check us out at WomenYourMotherWarnedYouAbout.com. If you have not given us a rating and a review yet, please do that at iTunes. And we have some cool downloads on our website as well, so check that out. And I think we're out of here.
We're out of here. Thanks, Warners. Bye, Thanks. Gina.
Bye, Rachel. Love you.
This really will get serious soon.
It doesn't have to. I don't think anybody wants it to be serious.
This has been a presentation of the Sell or Die Network. For more podcasts that you can take out into the street and turn into money, visit SellorDieNetwork.com.